Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this show is only slightly for millennials. And with me, I have...
Beelzebub's official.tumblr.com. Check it out. Thank me later.
And...
Fusion. Activate. Ow, shit.
You didn't have the guitar earrings, did you?
No.
Well, I mean, of course not. Why would anyone have those earrings? They're fucking stupid.
But they're fashionable.
Yeah, sure. If you're like an 83-year-old retired grandma living in Boca Raton.
Well, of all of us, you would know more about Boca Raton than, you know, Mark and I.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I'm only about a quarter of that age, so I'm nowhere near dying yet. You know, unless the meth head alligators come to get me, in which case, nice knowing y'all.
Damn.
Meth jokes. Those are always fun. So, anyway, yeah, episode 88. How's everything going with all y'all?
Well, time for some more hotel horror stories because people be disgusting, yo.
Now, when you say hotel horror stories, are we talking American Horror Story Season 5?
No, we're talking about trashed hotel rooms, because that's always topical, because people have absolutely no respect for where they're staying in, or paying $400 a night, up to $400 a night to stay in.
Damn.
Yeah, we've had some very, very, very trashed rooms to deal with in the past couple of days. Including today, which case one room had some stuff stolen out of it. That's always fun.
So, basically, it looked like the set of Jerry Springer.
No, not that bad, but there was enough cigarette residue all around and garbage on the floor everywhere.
So, are we talking, like, rock star damage or just plain old? These people are very uncourteous.
Definitely more of the latter, with lots of devilish children.
Oh damn, the children. Damn children.
But it's not all bad. I'm getting the 4th of July off. Hooray! And next weekend off. And even today, I decided to take some time to unwind by going to the movies, because I got this thing called the AMC Stubbs A-List membership. $20 a month. Any three movies you want per week. It pays for itself in two showings, so yeah, I'm going to take advantage of that. And I went and saw Uncle Drew today. That movie has just the right amount of heartwarming to it to make it a pretty enjoyable comedy romp.
Tell me, how much of the Shaq dojo is there?
About 5 minutes worth.
Damn it, I was really hoping it was a Shaq Fu adaptation.
No. We'll get that as soon as somebody greenlights the Barack Fu movie. Why is that a thing?
Because people have too much free time on their hands?
Yeah, I suppose better Barack Fu than... Never mind.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
So, about yesterday, I went down at Georgia, well, Atlanta, and I don't know, family and friends, we played some paintball. Yeah, and guess what? I lost, and I'll say it like this. If you're gonna play paintball, you're gonna have to be a fast move, because, you gotta make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta make sure you don't get shot, well, duh, obviously, and, you know, gotta duck down, be quick on your feet, aka the stuff we're not.
And I don't think any of us are fit for that.
No.
And I got shot multiple times. I think I got shot by air. Cause I feel like, what's the paintball? Like, I get shot by air. and it got fucking dirt. And it got fucking dirt, like very dirt, like, well, I mean like little dirt, like as in there's, you know, it was outside, cause we got duck down dirt. I even got shot in the face. Good thing I'm wearing this mask that looks like a motor race contest or some shit.
Remember that from, like, I had friends in middle school that were really into paintball.
like obsessively. It was kind of creepy.
Yeah, I will say, it's like a time I did this, like I did this ago, like some 10 years ago, in back in the place where we used to be a movie theater. I didn't enjoy anything because I got shot in the afro, and it kept hurting. It kept saying, "Hey, I'm shot! Stop shooting me, motherfuckers!" Yeah.
So did you look like a clown? Like one of those? Did it look like one of those clown wigs?
Well, not really. Just have some pink paint on me.
Aw, I was hoping for clown wig, Mark.
Bitches hurt.
Always clowning on you. Wow, that was a bad joke.
Bitches hurt, man. I think I took a paintball. You know what? I'm not gonna do that joke. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, stop there. Stop there. Atlanta. I need to find time to go there sometime. And money.
Yeah, me too. I got a free hotel stay there. It's just burning a hole in my pocket.
Wait, how?
I got to live in Georgia, so that's why I went.
I told you about this a while ago. I wanted at a hotel Christmas party.
This is the first I'm hearing about this.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I talked about this. Granted, it was 7 months ago.
No, I've heard about other hotel shenanigans, but not that.
No.
Haven't you told me? Is Alex even your real name?
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Who knows? I might actually be Scotch-Irish. Which, actually, I'm partially Scotch-Irish.
Of course he is. So now he's three different flavors of vanilla instead of just one.
Among others.
Anyway, as for me, I didn't really do much. I mean, I went to the movies with a friend who wanted to see Incredibles 2, so it was my second time seeing it, and, you know, still feel about the same about it, honestly. Although I do kind of like the parts where, like, you know, Mr. Incredible has to swallow his bullshit and just actually learn to be a decent dad. Those were the best parts of the movie. Well, that and Jack-Jack fighting a raccoon. I wonder if that raccoon was actually Rigby. Also, there were churros eaten, and was there anything else? Oh yeah, I finally beat the conquest route of Fire Emblem Fates, which was fucking bullshit. I swear to God, RNGesus was so fucking drunk when they were making that game. How the fuck do you give me a 100% chance of landing strikes on enemies, but they can still fucking dodge completely? No, you suck at math. I hate you, conquest route. Go back to the drawing board. Bastards.
Oh, you did not play the casual one. You played the toughest balls one.
Well, I mean, I do have, what was it, Birthright, which I'm playing through now, and that one's at least fun, because the number, you know, the RNG isn't bullshit.
Yeah, because that's the casual one.
No. There's a difference between casual and not understanding the basics of how numbers work. 100% means 100 fucking percent. Don't tell me I'm gonna get a 100% if they can fucking dodge. If they can dodge, shouldn't you calculate that into the forecast beforehand? That's just bad game design. Fuck. Also, I finally managed to get an emulator working on this here laptop of mine after fuck knows how many years and random attempts of trying to get this thing to fucking work. So, I might mess around with that perhaps on America's birthday, which, by the way, America, you're not getting a present from me because you have been misbehaving a lot lately and you haven't got your shit together. Only Cole. Actually, no, not Cole, because that's what you want. You're getting Nickelback CDs and you're going to like it.
Happy Belated Canada Day, everybody.
Anyway, that's basically about it for everything on my end. So with all those formalities out of the way, let's move on to the meat of the episode. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. There will, of course, be a link to a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and comment on these songs and our opinions on these songs. And, you know, things are a little bit short as well here, only about 7 or 8, it seems like, but we at least have some more interesting or at least good content to talk about. In fact, we can have Mark start us off here with this first half of songs, so go right on ahead.
Okay then, so yeah, ASAP Ferg, you got it again with some more singles, because he's been doing a lot. from that cover of River, which I'm still laughing. And the Ollie and Laffy did a song for Uncle Drew, the Foot Uncle Drew soundtrack as well. So anyway, he got two new songs, two very short songs, like they're both like run to 2 minutes each. One's called Verified, and the other is Not the Boy. Verified is basically what you think it is. It's about being verified on Twitter. And I'm supposed to like...
Which he is. I had to double check, but he is.
I mean, okay. You're verified on Twitter. Okay, cool. I mean, it's a regular song, it's a regular song about being verified on Twitter. Okay. I'm going to be honest. I'm before about a song. Like, I like the beat of it. But I like the beat of it. Okay, well, okay. Like, by like, I mean, it's okay, but this... I'm just thinking like you're singing a song about you're rapping about being verified on Twitter.
I'm thinking. Well, to be fair, there's other stuff he's rapping. There's other stuff he's rapping about in here, such as how he uses Listerine after smoking weed, which is actually an incredibly smart thing to do. I'm surprised more rappers don't bring it up because that shit's gotta like make your breath stink. And instead, you can have it smelling minty fresh. Just remember to always take those 60 seconds exactly. And yeah, I mean it does have kind of a cool beat at least.
Yeah, I mean, he has that, but okay, he has that. It's cool, beat, but okay, maybe stop beating that fly you pointed out. I'm kind of just, I don't know on this song, it's just whatever. And as for Not the Boy, this song kind of flew in out of my ear. I mean, this got an okay beat as well. Like I say, it just flew in out of my ear listening to this. It's like I ain't got much to talk about this as well. I mean, it's like a minute and 46 seconds. That's like you put that on an anime ED, except just cut off 16 seconds, or at least put them 6 seconds in regards to the. You get what I mean?
In this song, he does seem very obsessed about banging some dude's mother. It seems. Beat a bomb. Told me she's from Vietnam. Apparently, he wants gray poupon and croutons for some reason. Whipped cream on the side, you can get it near the chitlins. Also, what the fuck is a llama boy? Is he banging Carl Weezer's mom? Because I don't know who wants to bang Carl Weezer's mom. I mean, we all know who the real MILF of that show is. Ew. And it ain't her. But yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, these are obviously filler tracks until we get the next big ASAP Ferb project, who knows when. And speaking of filler tracks until we get the next big project, who knows when...
More Tyler, the creator. And he got us another.
And not Tyler as in the creator of Surreal Resolution, but Tyler, the creator, the rap guy.
Yeah. And he got us another random song he got called Peach Fuzz. And it was from, you know, usual track is very, is anything about this track, he is a remix of a virtual song from My Name Prophet called I Want to Be Your Man. Who is actually from Stone Stroll, since he did a shout out to Stone Stroll, which, cool, Stone Stroll's awesome. They should get a shout out. But I had a song, he's doing some freestyle on it, his own style on it. Like, he got, like you know, the brother's very, you know, smooth, mellow, that, you know, that shit, you know, that shit he had on Flower Boy. But yeah, it's another one of them smooth ass Tyler songs.
Smooth like good whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, I don't have much to add. It's just, you know, it's smooth.
Okay.
It's good enough, I suppose.
All right. So, on to our next track. Another Bugs Doom song. All right. So as I talked about last week, Cypress Hill DJ Muggs and MF Doom, they going to be putting a new album out called Assassination Day coming in August. It is have individual playlists with which image mugs for different MCs on one. And okay, like last week we got Doom and Freddie Gibbs on Death Wish, and now we have another song, Assassination Day, features not only Doom but a legendary underground rapper, as you will, Cool G Rap. And I was like, this is some very murky and this is like some very dark, grim, lethal shit. Like, this is some very dark comic book noir shit that you play in the street, in the mean streets. This shit is definitely that good shit. And And while like I listened to a couple of cool rap songs before, like I listened before, like he's cool MC. I'm digging him sometimes, but yeah, like I do like the rapping here as well. The more I look into this album and how it talks about, you know, like it says on Stereo Gum, it says the album is the manic album with a vigilante concept, which hip hop takes corruption head on, figuratively killing all powerful evil doers, musicians of power, as on foes. Because I noticed like last week, before this got released, there's a video for Death Wish, which features the assassination of George Zimmerman, which okay, I like that. But yeah, after this song, I like this much. I like Death Wish. They both got that murky shit, that murky lethal shit that make you want to do some feminist things.
This is one of the grimiest rap songs I've heard in a while, to not be made by a literal grime artist. Seriously, this is some dark, like, very sludgy, slow-driving kind of shit with those synthetic howling sort of, you know, sharp string stings, especially sounding all horror movie and stuff, all, you know, dark and creepy. Also, I'm guessing they must have been really hungry when recording this, or at least Kool G Rap was, because his verse has a lot of, like, goes in hard on a lot of food references and wordplay. You know, some stuff about baking in the kitchen. Apparently there's some fish involved. He's eating steak and some brisket. Damn, dude, that is some beef overload right there. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I give you props for eating, that, but, man, like, damn.
You'll be eating well tonight.
And don't forget cake and biscuit. Damn, this dude, like, I don't know what the hell kind of office potluck he was at, but I wish I was there. And what kind of biscuits are we talking about here? Are we talking, what was the one that Riley Freeman said to never feed a hoe? Oh, yeah, the cheddar biscuits!
the cheddar baby lost the biscuits.
God, now I want some cheddar biscuits. Okay, note to self, find some time to get cheddar biscuits, churros, and learn how to make General Tso's chicken. But, you know, yeah, it's a good song, although there's one thing I kind of have to question here. There's a point where Doom says something, and I hope I jotted down the lyric here right. Nick Jr. on mute, tough and bleed at night. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Nick Jr. comes on at like 6 a.m., and by that point, it's technically morning, so I don't know why Nick Jr. would be on in the night, unless either he had it DVR'd, which, why would he be DVRing Nick Jr., or if it's just supposed to be, like, some Nick at Night wordplay, which, I mean, hey, if he wants to watch Glenn Martin DDS, I mean, cool, but I'm sure he can find better late-night TV to watch.
Oh yeah, also, I think Nick Jr. has his own channel. I'm serious, Nick Jr. has his own channel, like, I'm looking at it right now on Dish. Nick Jr., 169.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's funny because it said 69. But yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this one, you know, when it drops August 3rd. But anyway, let's move on from that to a top 5 contender from last year. That's right, the electronic producer Igloo Ghost already has his next two releases lined up for the same day, August 8th. He's going to be releasing a pair of EPs simultaneously, one called Clear to May and the other called Steel Mogu. And at least according to the piece here and the information he put out, these are apparently supposed to be conceptual prequels to Neo Wax Bloom, although I'm not sure how you really do that in the context of this kind of wonky-ass electronic music. I mean, it's not exactly 100 Tricks Point Never, even though I still really like it, so... But anyway, we've been given a track from one of these EPs, the closing track of Steel Mogu, Night Racer, and... Yeah, as we've said before, this is some gloriously wonky-ass Igloo Ghost material. You know, there's a ton of, like, energetic skittering in the drum beats and the actual synthetic melodic patterns, the winding, you know, booming bass synthesizers, the really wiki-wiki-wack alien kind of, you know, voices kind of pitching up and down, the shimmering distortions and the rumbling kicks, you know. It's just, it's one of those things that's all over the pace and really packed with lots of, you know, small details here and there. And it warrants multiple listens, but I just know it's some damn banger-ass shit right here. So, Mr. Ghost, if I can call you that, you have my curiosity, and now you have my attention.
This is dope as hell. Oh, it's so good, so good, so good, so good.
What they said, I could definitely fuck with this track. There's some good shit from Little Ghost, and and before that double EP. Wait, would that make it if you listen to them at the same time? Would it be I don't know. I'm just.
Hey, look, if they want to release it that way, then let them. Just like how if Kanye wants to release a bunch of 7-track albums, let them. Especially since I hear he's apparently doing one with Chance the Rapper, supposedly.
Yeah, or he might be doing 52 albums in 52 weeks, a.k.a. the Nisio Eason Challenge.
Kanye Monogatari. That is the best and worst pun I have ever come up with on this podcast.
Okay, but yeah, this Eagles track is some good shit. And now I'm gonna tag out since fully because next four, these two got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Finally, mm-hmm. We got some like good metal material to dive into. Starting, of course, with one of my current favorite recent doom sludge metal acts, the duo known as Mantor. Yes, these lads are finally up to their third full-length album, The Modern Art of Setting Ablaze, which will come out August 24th, and we have the lead-off single and video from the album, Age of the Absurd. And, you know, it's every bit as ominous, dark, and just caked in musical filth as anything else they've released in the past, which includes songs such as Era Borealis, and no, you can't see. But, yeah, it opens with this really, you know, kind of offbeat, you know, guitar and drum combo that's kind of, like, really emphasizing the upbeats before getting into some really, you know, chug-heavy guitars and, you know, tom fills. And then the verses are this really, like, just muddy assault of, like, you know, these slow but pounding blast beats, those vicious, gnarly, throaty screams and everything. And the actual choruses have, like, that typical, you know, sort of black metal chord progression and key signature. And there's even, like, that really, like, fucking just killer bridge, you know, that's very heavy on the groove where the drums settle into like this, you know, halftime groove sort of thing, and the guitars like layer on those heavy hammer-on rhythms, and they even find room to work in a bass solo in there. And I like the part in the video just where like you could tell it like just completely stops and then cuts full center to, you know, the guitars just holding the bass in there. Like, they really want you to pay attention to this one part right here, man.
Yeah, well, the song does start off pretty strong, but leading into the verse, it kind of lost me. It's not quite a bad song by any means, but it just didn't deliver to what I was expecting after that really great build-up. It just sort of teetered off into more black metal halftime blast beat fill stuff.
They can't all be winners for all people, I suppose. But anyway, let's move on to something that I'm sure is going to get a lot more attention by a lot of people. So we finally have an album announcement proper from the lads in Alice in Chains. Coming out the same day as the new Mantor album, oddly enough, their newest album is called Rainier Fog. And we have the second single to go along with that, the track So Far Under. And this one, I will admit, I actually like quite a bit more than the first single we got. Maybe that has a bit to do with the fact that William Duvall is credited as the key songwriter on this one, and even plays like the solos on it as well. But yeah, this one, you know, it's got this pretty slow but steady driving kind of hefty groove in the verses, you know, which are especially driven home by those really elongated sort of guitar bends in the main riff, which kind of continues in the chorus, especially the way, like, the guitars just layer more and more. So you have those low-end grooves, and you have, like, these sort of listless, kind of hazy, droning lead melodies playing off against some disorienting chord progressions. And, you know, the vocal performances overall are pretty good, too. And it does feel a bit like Duvall is getting a bit more, you know, singing time on here. Although it still feels like he's mostly reduced to, like, you know, harmonizing with Cantrell. But, you know, hey, it's something at least.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sludgy and grooving. I can dig it. But to me, it is just, it's eerie how much the harmonized vocals sound like Lane Staley's still there. And so far, the first two tracks you've heard on this upcoming album have been giving me some solid promise. I'm expecting a lot of great things from this, and so far, I'm getting it. I eagerly await more.
Maybe it'll be, hopefully it'll be like a bit of a bounce back from the Devil Put Dinosaurs here, which, you know, I liked when I first heard it, but going back recently, it doesn't do as much for me as Black Gives Way to Blue did. But that's just one man's opinion. And now for this next song, since it concerns some developments in the universe of The Periphery, we'll of course throw it over to the resident Periphery expert. So Alex, you have the floor.
Alright, so a couple of months ago, we heard a couple of rumblings that Periphery members Misha Mansoor and Jake Bowen were looking to expand into more of an electronic little project on the side, and we now have it, entitled 4 Seconds Ago. This is pretty much their electronic side project. A bit different from the Misha Mansoor, Mark Holcomb, Haunted Shores project, but it's still pretty good. The first song we've gotten from this band, Fade Away, off of their debut album, The Vacancy, on September 28th, coming courtesy of their new self-published label, Three Dot. This song is pretty ambient and chill, and it's always nice to hear these guys branch out from their usual norm of high-gain djent, although we're expecting some since they're in the middle of writing Periphery 4, you know, supposedly called Periphery 4, at least to me. But yeah, this is definitely worth checking out if you're into that sort of lighter, ambient, electronic fare. So I wonder, is there anyone else involved with this band, and who is singing? Is it Misha or is it Jake?
I'm not entirely sure. Truth be told, I'm not sure I really picture either of them as singers. Although if I had to hazard a guess, maybe Jake more than Misha. All I know is this song is okay. It pretty much sounds like if you took like one of those ambient interludes on a Periphery song and then just like elongated that out into its own like, you know, track. It's, you know, aside from the kind of off-kilter you know, rhythms, which is kind of like, you know, these 7-4 sorts of things with some odd accentuations here and there, it's still a pretty straightforward, soothing sort of ambient techno trance sort of thing. It feels like the textbook definition of a side project, if I'm being perfectly honest here.
Mm-hmm. Just something to hold people over until, you know, Periphery 4.
Which is going to come out in America under the name of Periphery 2. It'll only be known as Periphery 4 in Japan. That's a Final Fantasy joke, kids. Ask your parents. But now, let's move on to the last song we got here this week. So, once again, we're talking about the lads in Coheed and Cambria, as we now finally have the album announcement proper for their return to, outer space conceptual sci-fi bullshit. The Unheavenly Creatures, their latest album, is coming out October 5th. And to coincide with the album announcement, we have, the title track from the album. Now, I mentioned before that I did like the last song we got here, you know, as kind of maybe a bit repetitive as it was, and, you know, truth be told, this one is maybe a bit repetitive as well, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it as much. Okay, so my thing here is I don't really mind repetitiveness in music as long as what you're repeating is worth repeating. And, you know, you kind of had that with, like, you know, the really catchy grooves of the last song we had, but on this one, the actual musical part just feels kind of straightforward and poppy, you know, not just because of, like, the persistent chiptune electronic thing that's actually, like, you know, even by Coheed standards, that's, like, it just sounds really corny here. And then there's, like, okay, so, you know, you're listening to the lyrics, it's, you know, all the sci-fi narrative shit, but then you get to, like, the one line that you're gonna hear more than any other in the song, and that's "Run, run, 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 run like a son of a gun," because apparently Claudio Sanchez is 67. I don't know. It's like that is really just lame. And like I said, they don't stop repeating it. Again, if you're going to repeat something, make it worth repeating. And just saying son of a gun, you know, it's almost as corny as that one Nicki Minaj song where 2 Chainz unironically says the phrase doohickey. You know, because apparently he's a 1940s cartoon character.
Well, I'll be a bit nicer and say I kind of like that chiptune intro. It just, you know, it's always nice to hear. And that chorus riff with the guitar work, it sounds a lot like peak My Chemical Romance, a.k.a. the last riff in Famous Last Words, you know, the one. Which to me, hey, that's cool.
So, I mean, again, there's a lot more album left to hear. Apparently, and keep in mind, I'm only pulling from Wikipedia here, at least from the information they got, the album could possibly be about 78 minutes long, which would make it their longest yet. In fact, I think that would make it 6 minutes longer than Good Apollo on Burning Star Volume 1 from Fear Through the Eyes of Madness. And yes, I just had to say the full album title there, because fuck you. But, you know, we shall see where this goes. But anyway, that's it for all the new song discussion, and now is the part where we take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news topics here as well. So, don't touch that dial, kids.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Dragon Ball Super, I mean, fuck it.
We're back. So let's talk about that random non sequitur intro thing I did for a second. Mostly for millennials. Caught the first 2 episodes last night. I pretty much liked it. Granted, it's still pretty much, you know, it seems like it's just retreading stylistic ideas from the Eric Andre Show. I mean, he is a producer on it. But, you know, for what it is, it's as amusing as you could get with the satires of millennial culture and all that. And, you know, now that I think about it, for the past few months, Adult Swim has been, you know, pretty much on a roll, you know, starting with the excellent first season of Ballmasters, the weirdly soothing and calming Joe Pera Talks With You, you know, currently mostly for millennials, and of course with the better, much better than expected second season of Fooly Cooly. You know, you would know that if you've been reading my reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hope you all are. Why wouldn't you, unless you were trying to hurt my feelings? And, of course, that's going to continue next month when we finally get the newest season of The Venture Brothers! Finally, we don't have to wait like 5 fucking years! It was just 2 years instead. Yay. But it looks like the good times for Adult Swim are not slowing down yet. For, you see, we got a bit of a teaser from, of all people, Mr. Carl Jones, who you might recognize best as a producer on the Adult Swim classic The Boondocks, which ran for 3 seasons and no more.
Yes, no more.
Also he's the voice of Dognificent!
Booty butt, booty butt, booty butt, cheeks!
Cheeks!
Yes, it appears on a social media post, I believe on Instagram mainly, Carl Jones has actually teased that he's apparently working on a new Adult Swim cartoon. You know, the post was simply titled, "New Tune Coming Soon," and the image itself is actually just a collage of several actors and writers. The writers involved Gianna Lawrence, Quinta Brunson, and Judnick Maynard. But what stood out most specifically was that were 2 other figures pictured in that little collage. One was Drom, and the other is Vince Staples.
Wow.
Yes, this is a very intriguing development, and I would like to point out that in the Pitchfork piece, they point out that Jason DeMarco tweeted, "Hell yeah," in response to the post, which is kind of funny considering Drom's opinions on Toonami, of all things.
I forgot about that.
He's probably one of the people mad the King of the Hill is gone. What is this Dragon Ball crap? Where's my King of the Hill?
It's like they replaced the greatest anime of all time with an anime that's only mediocre at best. I'm mad about this.
Well, at least it was a Cleveland show.
That is true. But, you know, whatever this cartoon could possibly be, I guess we'll have to wait a bit. Like, didn't they already do, like, the upfront presentations recently? And I'm not sure we heard anything about that. So maybe
that was back in May.
Yeah, so maybe this is a thing for next year. Who knows? Because I know once they do the... what is it? I imagine once they finish up the Venture Bros season, they're probably going to, you know, segue straight into Dream Corp season 2. And then whatever happens after that. But guess we'll have to wait and see what Mr. Jones and, you know, the rest are having in place. What their plans are. Sorry, I'm getting off track here. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic here. So, as we all know, shit has been F-U-C-K-E-D in the realm of the Grammys. You know, especially because Neil Port now keeps shit in the bed. But there has been a bit of a new development recently in the Grammys world. So on top of trying to revamp the ways that they, you know, consider nominees for stuff like, say, the hip-hop categories, they have announced a pretty significant change to a few categories. So in the nomination categories of Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and Best New Artist categories, the Grammys have announced that starting next year, the nominee pools for those will actually expand from 5 nominees to 8.
Isn't that like a other certain show that did that shit a couple of years back? What was it again? The Tonys? Wait, no, that's not it. The NT Movie Awards? No, I forgot.
The Game Awards! That's what it was.
Yes, the Game Awards.
Ah, we're just messing with you. We know it's the Oscars, which I think they did that 2015, I want to say. Because I think that rule change, I don't know if it came in before or during the year that Mad Max Fury Road came out. I probably should have looked that up during the break. Damn. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure this will be an interesting thing to see, even if ultimately we know it's probably just going to, you know, nominate some mediocre pop singer that most of us have never heard of.
Yeah.
Unless they end up, you know, nominating, like, BTS or something. So, it's going to be kind of interesting to see really how each of these categories uses the 3 extra slots. Because, you know, normally this stuff is for just, like, big, you know, pop, rap, and R&B albums. And, you know, I can't imagine them stretching out any further than that. Although, it maybe would be nice... And, you know, maybe they could probably use this to expand to certain other categories, maybe. Maybe the rock and metal categories could get 8 nominations apiece. And maybe they could all consult me on it, because I, you know, I would have some opinions about this that I think are valid. But I guess that's just hopeless optimism on my end. Everybody knows it's just going to be like 7 more slots that'll be potential promising albums that ultimately get upended by something kind of mediocre. Because that's basically how this stuff always works. I expect nothing, and I'm still disappointed. Wah, 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 disappointed. Anyway, let's move on to this last story here. And I think it's best to throw it over to Alex, since it involves quite a bit of licensing rights, and some pretty big ones at that, it seems like.
Yeah, so... When last we left the story of the Paisley Park Estate, as I call them because that's really what they are, we've been hearing some stuff regarding the back catalog of prints. Not past releases, but all the unreleased releases. We don't know much about what's going on with that, you know, further, but we do know a bit of interesting information regarding the previous back catalog. As in, the Paisley Park Estate has signed a deal with Sony Music to re-release Prince's back catalog of 30 5 albums. And, much like the Marvel Studios situation, it's going to be in phases. Now, this deal will be distributed through Sony's Legacy Recordings label. And we're going to get our first phase coming very soon, featuring, I do believe, his later half albums, such as The Golden Experience, Emancipation, Raven to the Joy Fantastic, The Rainbow Children, 3121, and Musicology and Planet Earth, all released between 1995 and 2007.
Yeah, because that, sorry to interrupt, but that sounds kind of familiar, because wasn't that, like, a deal that Prince's estate already, like, had in place with, I forget if it was either Sony Music or a different big label to release albums from, like, 1995 onward?
For Musicology and Planet Earth, those were released through Sony via their Columbia label, but as for the others, I think it was a different label entirely. I'm not entirely sure. But interestingly enough about this deal, it will include rights to B-sides, remixes, non-album tracks, live recordings, music videos, and other previously released singles released before 1995. But this won't have any effect to soundtracks or Purple Rain, because that'll still be under Warner Brothers' label, because that's not part of the second phase, which will kick off in 2021, which will include Prince, Dirty Mind, Controversy, 1999, Around the World in a Day, Sign of the Times, Love Sexy, Diamond and Pearls, and Unpronounceable Love Symbol. Yeah.
Strange.
So this is a pretty big power play put in place here. Almost as big as, say, insert basketball reference here. But really, this is actually going to probably be a much bigger deal than what I'm making it out to be. There's a lot of stuff in here. And as for some of the stuff that came out from 2014-2015, a.k.a. the title stuff, we don't know much about that other than it'll probably be handled out in the future, which might be sometime in the next 5 years, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and who knows? The odds are good they might, when they do some of these re-releases, they'll probably do it up big. Like, and by big, I mean like Metallica style, like with their remasters and re-releases.
Mm-hmm, they certainly can.
All that stuff from the vaults, which is apparently like however many, like, literal metric fucktons of material that they could just package with this or that album re-release, deluxe reissue, special vinyl package deal things.
Special ultimate deluxe super megaton edition with the golden wrap on it.
Featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
And Knuckles.
What he said.
Special funky mode. But, yeah, this is sure to be very interesting, and, you know, obviously it's going to take a while if they're staggering it in Marvel-style phases, but, on the bright side, any of you listening to this who's under the age of 25, you'll all know what you'll be getting your parents for the holidays and Christmas for the next, 5 or 10 years or so. You know, assuming we're not all broke by then.
Here's some Prince.
But you got me Prince last year, and you're going to get Prince again next year. Merry Christmas. But yeah, we'll see how that develops, and that's basically it for the news topics. Now, of course, there's the part where we have to talk about the new album releases for July 6, 2018, but holy shit, this stuff is more barren than the inside of my brain on a daily basis. There's like barely anything coming out for, like, anything. So, like, is everyone taking a break just because it's America's birthday or something? Or, you know, I just realized, is next month going to be another August where, like, everything comes out on the same day? Everything?
If July's taking a breather, then, well, at least this month, it's going to be, like, a short month, then, well, and I was after we listened to official what I listened to last month. Now I might need a breather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But at least for this week, there's only three releases of note that I found. The latest album from Black Metalers Immortal with Northern Chaos Gods, the newest album from Stone Metalers Bong Ripper with Terminal, and apparently there's a new EP from Miss She's So Fancy, Iggy Azalea, with Surviving the Summer. Now, of course, the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Same place as always, Aura of Azure, everywhere on the internet, where I'm going to spend the next several months trying to figure out what the hell that Yuri on Ice movie poster means. What does it mean? What does it mean?
It means that there's a Yuri on Ice movie coming out. What else would it mean?
But
save deeper, your money.
Deeper into that. I need to know.
First off, keep your doujins to yourself, man. Deeper. We all know what that means. Nasty. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, you're coming on Twitter at Mental Habit Media, where basically all week I'm going to be live tweeting Steven Universe episodes and say a lot of stupid shit about it, like I always do. And also on my site, that behind the Hybrid One, at hybrid1.wordpress.com. As you know, anime season summer has started. And of course, I'm doing, you know, first impressions. And of course, I'm doing my own story. Well, as this recording, it'll debut tomorrow, but when you listen to this, it's going to be out anyway. But yeah, a new story, Darksiders 3, the final one, Savage Mode, will be online then.
21. Sorry, I had to do that.
I know.
I knew what anyway, happened. As for me, you could find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. Do audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified when new shit goes up there. Be sure to follow the site on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit at SurrealResolution.com and find this podcast on DecibelBoost.SurrealResolution.com. And of course, be sure to check out Podcast.ONA for all your dank anime podcasting content.
Hear, hear. Because we got Anime Expo coming up this weekend, and everything's premiering there. Literally everything.
Oh, I can't wait.
Of course, be sure to keep up with our written content. Hopefully this week will be when I can finally do the review for Death Grips, because apparently the melon already beat me to it, and a yellow flannel one at that, which means I know he thinks it's good, but I can't watch the review until I finish mine because reasons. Can't have my opinions tainted.
It was so powerful. I opened up YouTube and it immediately opened up the review. The melon is controlling my phone with his mind. That or Couchy Chesta figured out some weird hack job.
Oh boy! I'm a hack man! Anyway, be sure to jump into our Discord if you ever want to see me shitpost car salesman memes. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. So, thank you for joining us this week for episode 88. Of course, we'll see you next week, both for the main episode and the album roundup for the last month. So, keep an eye out for that. And, until next time, this bad boy can fit so many fucking podcasts in it.